In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our gospel reading, Luke, the second chapter. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the heart, well, the heart is a terrifying thing, actually. It's so easy to break the heart of others, isn't it? And yet so easy to hide what is deep down in your own heart, whether that be secret lusts, or a constant anger, or overwhelming pride and vanity, self-righteousness, even our fears and pains and wounds that have cut us so deeply. The last thing, quite frankly, that we want anyone to know is what is deep down inside our hearts. Now, on a good day, nobody knows about it, right? It's all covered up with a smile on your face and a warm greeting, right? Oh, but on a bad day, we lash out. And sometimes it is the last straw. Our anger erupts out into words that we wish we would never spoken and words we wish we could take back. Or it erupts into deep sadness and uncontrollable tears. Or perhaps even silence for many, many years. Sometimes, though, we are so broken, we just don't even care, do we? We don't care to control our anger. We don't care to control our lustful passions. We don't care to control anything at all, even the amount of drinks we decide to have. And sadly, there are so many who believe Satan's lies, that the world would be a better place if I were not here. All of this comes from within. It comes from the heart. It's hidden from the world because we don't want anyone else to know about it. And yet, the heart actually, quite frankly, is a terrible thing. It's why our Lord says in Mark 7, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, pride, envy, slander, foolishness. All of these things actually come from within, and they defile a person. And yet, interestingly enough, how many times do you hear Christians say that they just want to give their heart to Jesus? You know, there's a little conversation I was reminded of brushing through one of the books in my office. Fantastic book, called The Hammer of God. But in this, there's a story of a young pastor, straight out of seminary, who considers himself to be a true believer in Christ. And so, in front of his congregation, he tells them how he has given his heart to God and how he urges them, and also the senior pastor, to do likewise. Well, the senior pastor, a much older, a much wiser and seasoned man, pulling the new pastor aside after the service, says to him, "Do you honestly think that that is something to give him?" And the older pastor goes on, he says, "You see, my dear boy, one does not choose to redeem oneself, nor give his heart over to God. Think of it this way. The heart is a rusty, old tin can piled on the top of a junk heap. A fine birthday gift to give your Lord, don't you think? But the Lord, he wonderfully passes by. And as he passes by, he takes his walking stick, sticks it into the rusty can, and puts it in his sack, claiming that can as his own from the junk heap. That, my dear young boy, is how it actually is. So, if you want to offer your heart to God as a gift, don't. But rather in repentance and faith, then offer that sacrifice. God does not want your heart because he knows how unpure and unclean it is. Even the right motives deep down inside can be pressed upon. You confessed it moments ago. I, a poor, miserable sinner, am by nature sinful and unclean. He knows what lurks deep inside of here, what you try to hide. And our Lord, in repentance, wants to take your heart from you, like that rusty tin can, cut it open, and bleach it thoroughly. Cleanse it so it becomes whiter than snow with his own precious blood. He wants to wash that filth away and then put inside of you a new heart, a clean heart, one that doesn't beat for itself and its own desires, but one that beats for the Lord, one that confesses Jesus Christ as both God and Lord. That's the sort of Lord he is, the one who pierces the heart and creates it anew. Why else do you think the psalmist says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God"? If our Lord is interested in just getting your heart, rather than taking it and cleaning it and purifying it for you anew. Now, Simeon, after singing the Nunc Dimittis, says to the Blessed Virgin, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and as a sign that is to be opposed, so that the hearts of many might be revealed." The infant son, the Word made flesh, is a double-edged sword. The stone which the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone which they themselves stumble upon. He is the one to sent to pierce the hearts and to reveal all of the sin to you by his holy law, to reveal our guilt and our shame and our sorrow. And this Christ reveals exactly who we are. Prideful sinners steeped in lust and arrogance and anger and vengeance and fear and fear and fear and fear. No, I'm not a broken record. I'm just echoing your thoughts in 2020. Fear and sorrow. Many, though, will not be pierced by him. Or if they are, they'll quickly try to patch it all up together and put on the happy face, you see, numbing the pain as they are able. But in so doing, they reject him. They won't fall upon him so as to be broken. And so, instead of repenting of their sin and getting that clean heart from our Lord, the pure forgiveness and mercy of our God, they refuse to do that. And so they are crushed by him, their pride and their vanity. But you, by God's grace, you will be broken. Scratch that. You are broken. You are crushed and slain. You are cut to the heart by God's law, and all of your secrets are laid bare before him this day. Your deepest, darkest sins cannot be hidden from our Lord. He knows them. And yet, it is our Lord that has taken you anew out of the waters of holy baptism, creating a new heart in you and marking you with a cross on your forehead and on your heart, who has said to you, "You are my child. I have chosen and not rejected you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." It is he who has clothed you in that robe of righteousness that covers all your sins. Yes, you are broken, but you are mended. You are fallen, but you have risen. You are dead, but you are alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And here, through his holy word and sacraments, you are given to enter into his presence and to see, like Simeon, the very salvation of your God, the consolation of all of Israel. You're mending. Rising, living as a child, praised by Simeon and Anna, echoes that of Simeon and Anna. For it is into this child, into this holy Christ child, that you have been baptized. You live now from the font. Your life is marked with that constant cyclical rhythm of, yes, falling into sin, but returning to our Lord again and again and receiving His mercy. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And going out of those doors and striving to continue to love God and love your neighbor and falling into sin and returning yet again to hear those words of mercy and enter into your God's presence that you might be clean. Yours is a rhythm of darkness to light, confession to absolution, death to resurrection. You will live by the word of God proclaimed to you by His very body and blood given and shed that He gives for you to eat and drink. And in this way, you are reconciled to God. In this way, through the promised Messiah, God does not hold your sins against you. He does not count them against you. Yours is mercy and forgiveness. And like St. Mary, then, yours is a life marked by the cross. It is marked with suffering, but it is marked also with joy. For a sword will pierce your own soul also. And here at the foot of the cross and by the foot of the cross, through suffering, you begin to learn that He is all that matters. Not your own deepest wants and desires, not what you believe can help you in this world, but only He who can raise you from the dead and give you eternal life. Here your heart's exposed. And here you learn that there is no other place in this world that you can turn. Not to your own strength, not to your own pride, not to your own vanity, not to your own job, not to the medical field, not to anything that man can concoct. Nothing can you turn, and nowhere can you turn. But Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins and the life of the world. There is no other consolation. There is no other hope. It must come from Jesus, and Jesus to you, in you, where you live and move and have your being. And painful though it was and is today to have your evil thoughts exposed, to confess those, that utterly evil that you have done throughout your life and even again this week before our Lord, to bring your darkness before Him. Still, what a joy it is to receive light instead of darkness, to receive mercy instead of judgment, to receive forgiveness instead of condemnation, to receive peace instead of chaos. For our Lord takes all that you have in Himself, and He gives all that He has to you. He renders that payment of His own blood on the cross for you, and He sends you away again this day, forgiven. He sends you away this day, again, as His promised child who lives before Him and loves one another as He has loved you unto death. You confess, and so you are absolved. You eat and drink, and so you dine with God in His presence and receive His mercy. And therein, your hearts are actually united to Him. And if they are united to Him, they are set free, and you have nothing to fear. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.